The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 59. It is on page 116 of the New Testament. Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 59. Allow me to read the words of God. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Amen. In the book, Anything with Life is Beautiful, there's a section on wasps. Some types of wasps catch a pipe caterpillar or a grasshopper and bury it in the underground tunnel. Then they lay their eggs inside the prey. So when the wasp grows from an egg stage to the larvae stage, they grow by eating off of the pine caterpillar or the grasshopper's body. What's even more scary is that the mother wasp does not kill the prey right away, and rather it partially paralyzes some body parts of the insect so that the baby wasp can always eat fresh meat. It is the order of nature for the weak to become prey to the strong, so it is more natural for the pine caterpillar or the grasshopper to be eaten by the wasp. But think about the pain that the caterpillar or the grasshopper will have to face due to the mother wasp's obsessive love for its offspring. Let's assume that we were traveling in the African savanna and were bitten by some nameless insect or unknown plant and became paralyzed. How scary will it be to be conscious and yet unable to move while a group of hyenas or wild dogs came nearby? And if hyenas or wild dogs started to chew our arms and legs? I don't even want to think about it. When the mother wasp sees that the baby wasps are growing bigger by eating off of the pine caterpillar or the grasshopper, how content will she be? But it will pain other pine caterpillars or grasshoppers because they are eating their friends or relatives. The same scene can be interpreted totally differently when viewed from the wasp's point of view and the pine caterpillar or the grasshopper's point of view. Likewise, there could be entirely different evaluation about someone, a situation, or a government policy. Depending on whose side I am or where I belong, my interpretation can be totally different. Today's scripture clearly shows who we are and where we belong. Let's look at verses 49 and 50. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. It is difficult to interpret these two verses. There are many opinions about what fire means. It is interpreted as the Holy Spirit and also as spiritual activities. Another interpretation is judgment, which seems the most appropriate. Jesus came to this earth to lead people from darkness into the light and to live a truth-driven life instead of living by something other than the truth. If one does not try to escape darkness even at the last moment and waste his life on anything other than the truth, his life will be judged accordingly. And the baptism to undergo means the death on the cross. If we literally translate the Chinese characters for baptism, it means a cleansing ceremony. Baptism is surely a ceremony to wash our sins, but there's a difference between how we understand washing and how the Bible explains washing. There is a precondition to the word to wash, which is that the original form does not have any problem. If a piece of clothing becomes dirty or is stained, you can wash it. Even if you work in a greasy factory and your clothes become dirty from grease, you can use an efficient detergent to wash it clean. But what can you do if the clothing itself is dirty? Can you use multiple detergents to clean it? Can you try washing it yourself or the laundry mat instead of using the washing machine? Or can you get it dry cleaned? If the clothing itself is rotten, then there's no way for you to repair it. Instead, you just have to get a new one. It is the same for iron. If there's some rust on the surface, you can wipe it with sandpaper and put oil over it. But if even the inside has been corroded, then the iron needs to become new by putting it in the smelting furnace. People are in need of entire cleansing, not partial cleansing, like the rotten clothing or the corroded iron. Our cleansing ceremony is not just washing with detergent or cleaning with a sandpaper. We are becoming a new piece of clothing and new iron after entering the smelting furnace. This is why it is more proper and correct to understand baptism as a dying ceremony. Thus, with Jesus Christ, our old selves die, and with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are given new lives. Jesus' words, which signify judgment through fire and the cross through the baptism to undergo, mean that everyone on this earth deserved to die for his or her sin, but Jesus chose the cross to die on our behalf. Nevertheless, people did not know what Jesus Christ came for. And people tried to fit Jesus into whatever image of Jesus they had wanted. Thus, people thought that the false expectation of Jesus Christ they had imagined was real and asked him to become what they had expected of him. Jesus is saying that he is frustrated because of this. Chapter 21 of the Gospel of Matthew describes Jesus' last steps towards Jerusalem. Jesus did not ride on a strong white horse, instead on a small donkey. At the time, the strong white horse was like a 500cc motorbike, while the small donkey was similar to the shared bicycle operated by the Seoul city government, 다릉이. The saddle on the donkey was not made of leather with a phoenix or a crane drawn on it. Instead, the smelly clothes that disciples had worn were used as the saddle. And the donkey stepped on not a red carpet, but on smelly clothes. This is a totally ludicrous scene. And yet, people yelled out Hosanna so loud that the surface of the earth shook. But people did not yell out because they properly understood the reality of Jesus, who had come to save us and to invite us to live out the kingdom of God. They had seen and heard about Jesus' miracles, so they thought, if Jesus has such power, we will not have to worry about what to eat or what to drink. So they were expecting their desires to be fulfilled. Hosanna, that Israelites yelled out, means, please save us, or now save us. They were saying, if you are the Messiah we have been waiting for, please save us from the reign of the Roman Empire, and please do this now. But the path that Jesus came as the Savior and the path that the Israelites had expected of the Messiah were totally different. So, only 5 days later, the Israelites yelled toward Jesus, who did not walk the path they had wanted, to be hung on the cross. As Jesus looked at this crowd, he was frustrated to the point that his heart was about to burst. Jesus continued to speak in verses 51 to 53. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. In 1980, the average household size in Seoul was 4.33. This number declined to 3.99 in 1985 and 2.88 in 2005. The current household size is 2.4. And the percentage of a single person household in 2017 census was 28.6%, the highest percentage among various types of household size. As the life expectancy increases, there are people living alone after their spouse passes away, and more youth living alone due to late marriage and preference to stay single. We live in an era where the picture of a family is changing. Jesus said that he came to earth for division, not peace. At the time, a family seems to have consisted of two parents and three children, a total of five people. So five people will fight in two groups, three against two, or two against three. Even nowadays, we read about family members fighting, sometimes leading to tragic consequences every day in the newspaper. Then, does this mean that Jesus causes such division? When Jesus came to earth, many angels and a great company of heavenly hosts praised God and sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Jesus' coming to earth is glory to God and peace on earth. But why does Jesus say in today's scripture that he came for division, not peace? In order to understand this scripture, we have to take a look at John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." We were people who lived in the world according to secular values and thought what we see is everything. But when Jesus opened our eyes, we could see things which we could not see before. So we learned that there is more to life than trying to own more than others, sit at a higher position than others, and seek more pleasure day and night. Moreover, since life we live on earth is not the end, we learned that we have to live a life to prepare for eternity and live our lives on earth to be in line with eternity. Indeed, our affiliation has changed from the world and the devil to eternity and God. That's why Satan does not leave us alone. They use people who are on the same side as us to attack us. Father and son, mother and daughter, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law in the scripture represent people who are close to each other. So people who are on our side become our opponents. So Jesus says in verse 56, "Hypocrites, You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? It is important to interpret the weather, but it is even more important to interpret the present time. We will look more closely into what it means to interpret the time. But basically, we can buy an umbrella or wash our clothes if we misread the weather pattern. But interpreting the time influences the life we live on Earth and our eternal life. So Jesus says it's more important to interpret the present time than to interpret the weather. So we can learn three lessons from today's scripture. First, even though I may perceive myself as a Christian, if my life is no different from people of the world, then I am not living as a true Christian. Even though I promise to live as a true person of faith, if I did not have any conflict about value systems in my relationships with people following secular values at the workplace or at the school, and even envy them at times, then it is truly a pity. It means that I am not walking on the path of truth. If we try to live by following the truth, then people who follow secular values are bound to claim that something is wrong with us. We may hear from others, "Why are you being so picky?" or "Just live like other people." We might even hear, "If the water is too clean, then the fish cannot live there." But only when we understand and overcome such conflict in truth and with faith, then our faith can mature and we can harvest fruits of life on earth. Church members who live in apartment complexes will have the corresponding stickers on their cars. The sticker is used to check the resident, and many of our church members' cars will also have those stickers. And they will also have church stickers. This is to check that the car belongs to our church member and to check that they are here for the worship service. But in my car, I have the church sticker on my car, but also inside of my car. The car sticker is to inform others, but the church sticker inside the car is for me to see. It is to remind myself to drive according to the regulation, especially late in the night and early in the morning when there's no one else on the streets. It is to remind myself that I am a Christian and that I am a pastor of a church. People think that Christians are some other being. Churches and Christians are criticized today because people expect us to be different and live lives that are different from others, but they find that we are not so different from them. Christians should be different from people of the world. If the only two things that are different are that you go to church on Sunday and that you pray before eating, then you should reflect upon your faith. A person who has been in faith for 2 to 3 years should be different from one who has been in faith for 2 to 3 decades. That is because people who are just beginning in their journey of faith can hope to become like those who have been in faith longer after 20, 30 years. I have been a full-time pastor for about 25 years. Everything was difficult at first. It was difficult to take care of church tasks, and preaching was even harder. So on Saturdays, there were only a few days I slept lying on the floor, and I spent countless days pulling an all-nighter to prepare for the sermon. So I hoped that I would age quickly. In my early 30s, I hoped to become a 40-year-old because I thought I'd become used to some tasks after 10 years. But even after 10 years, I didn't become used to it. I thought with age, I would have less conflict and be able to see the world with a bigger heart. But it wasn't so. And yet, I know a little bit more than the past. I know that faith entails self-denial until our last breath on this earth, and that we are to obey God's words where God granted us to be at every single moment, and that we are to be built together in the Lord. Moreover, humans are too weak to make their lives to flourish and worthy by themselves. And humans are so selfish and full of faults. So this is what leads us to trust God. Let's try to live life that change even a little bit day by day. So that even if yesterday and today seem the same, may our faith and life look different if we compare after 1 or 2 years. So when we look back after 5 to 10 years, may we discover that our faith and character are so much deeper and wider than our current selves. Second, if we are disliked and persecuted by people of the world, even though we obey the truth and live a proper life of faith, then we should be thankful. This indicates that I have become a person of God, a person of faith. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What today's youth is most scared of, and we should also eradicate from our society, is being bullied in class. Sometimes they may be publicly bullied, but at other times, they may also be secretly bullied. Sometimes students who are victims to such bullying are unable to focus on learning because they are worried that bullies will not return the pencil they have borrowed from them, and they don't know what to do if they don't return it. lunch is also a difficult time because they don't have any friends to eat with. They can't focus in class near lunchtime because they're worried about who to eat with or whether they should just skip lunch. When they pass by a classmate on the street, their hearts start to beat faster because they don't know whether they should say hi or not. They hope that the classmate will recognize them first. After that, they put their face down and try to avoid meeting the classmates. So when they advance to middle school and on to high school, they want to go to a school where they will not meet their former classmates. It is not so different for adults. Bullying is not uncommon in workplaces nowadays. Even after getting a job with difficulty, not a small number of people leave workplaces, not because of work itself, but because of relationships. But people who lived by faith, on the side of truth, were always bullied. It was the case for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, the forerunners of faith, and also Moses, David, and many other prophets. Peter faced the same difficulty among disciples, and so did Apostle Paul. Because Christians are afraid of living by truth and becoming a pariah and fail to live by following the truth, the world is becoming more polluted and foul-smelling. May we not be afraid of suffering and losses due to living by the truth and joyfully endure it. Such people are the light and salt of the world, and through these people, the world becomes anew. Third, if other people that live by truth does not strengthen or challenge me, and I continue to abhor such life, then I am a person of secular values. I may be envious of people who live a life of truth, and there is no one who is 100% perfect, so we could criticize them for certain aspects. But unless I am a person of secular values, I cannot hate or deny a person who follows the path of faith. There is a phrase that if it's me, it's romance, and if it's someone else, it's adultery. Originally, the statement meant if it's someone else, it's a scandal, but if it's me, it's romance. Now, the first statement is being used like a proverb. We can see such behavior inside the church. If others pray with tears, their faith is peculiar, but if I pray with tears, I have a fervent faith. If others pray to receive something, they believe in prosperity gospel, but if I pray to receive, I'm hoping for the promise in the Bible. If others volunteer, they're using extra time for leisure, but if I volunteer, I am carefully managing time, so it is holy obedience. If others skip Sunday service, they don't have faith. But if I skip a Sunday service, I have mature faith that God is everywhere. If others move to a bigger house, the scripture, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head," comes to mind. But if I move to a bigger house, the scripture, "I will enlarge your territory," comes to mind. If others fall asleep during service, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation," comes to mind. But if I fall asleep, I am reminded of the verse, "For he grants sleep to those he loves." this is the reality of sinful man. We have to think in the opposite terms. If I do not like someone right now, is it because you're disheartened by his impropriety? Or is it because of your sickening selfishness? When we look at others, if we judge them by secular values and self-centeredness, then we are not walking on the path of truth. Let us lay down the secular values that regarded what we see as everything and stand on the side of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life on this Sunday of worship. Only then can we be built together in the Lord, walk the path of truth and life with the Lord, and embrace people of the world. If the world shows hatred towards us because we do not align with them, we can treat them with the river of life that flows from the Lord. Then, through the peace of the Lord and the Lord of peace, we will become peace cultivators that renew this generation. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us that if we try to walk the path of truth, life, and eternity, there will be hatred and opposition against us in the world. Please grant us the courage to act upon truth and faith, to not be scared of the opposition that we may face if we live by truth. May we also be able to confess like the psalmist that we would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. If we face opposition or if our lives become less comfortable as we try to live by the truth, help us not to give up living a proper life. Moreover, may we be envious of people who have lived a life of faith, and may it energize us to live such lives. If people who started their journey of faith start to be ahead of us, may we not be jealous of them and rather be encouraged by it. Through each one of us who live by truth, may our families, workplaces, church, and society become renewed. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.